Cold weather that occurred yesterday across the Midwest will likely continue to be with us for a little while longer. But we are going to see a warming trend over the weekend into early next week, and it will be followed by more cold weather. So don't get too comfortable with the warmer bias that will be playing out during this period of time. With all that said, though, it's still midwinter. We are to expect some of this periodically. It doesn't make it any more comfortable for us at times, though. Yesterday afternoon, temperatures were quite cool across the region, with temperatures staying below zero in parts of Minnesota and in the positive single-digit readings across neighboring areas in the Dakotas and eastward into portions of Wisconsin. Only the teens were reported in Iowa and Michigan, and then mostly 20s occurred in the southern parts of the Midwest. Definitely cold for this time of the year, and we do need to see a bit of a change. We are going to see that evolve as we move forward now through these next few days, an opportunity for better conditions across the region, followed by a good chance for precipitation, maybe a larger storm system next week, and then eventually more cold air coming back across the region once again. So a rather complicated weather forecast here. We do expect the first disturbance to come across the Midwest today. In fact, it's already underway. If you have noticed, it is snowing out there in a fairly large portion of the eastern Midwest and across portions of the Great Lakes region. Overnight, the snowfall has been relatively light, but it has come with some breezy conditions in the northwestern part of the region, and that's caused some blowing and drifting of snow and hazardous travel conditions in parts of the region. That's been mostly in Minnesota and parts of Wisconsin. But as we go through the day today, the snow is going to be moving further through the eastern parts of the Midwest, so the Great Lakes region down southward into Ohio and Indiana. We'll see some occasional light snowfall. We don't expect the accumulations to be all that impressive, probably running from a dusting upwards to perhaps, we'll say maybe an inch and a half. It could be a couple of spots. It could get 2 or 3 inches, but those will be exceptions, not the rule. This disturbance will be followed by a drier day on Saturday, and then we'll look for a new storm system to come out of the Central Plains on Sunday that will bring moisture back into the heart of the Midwest, and this will occur mostly during the day Sunday and on into Monday. The system will produce anywhere from a few hundredths of an inch upwards to 5 or 6 tenths of an inch of moisture for the most part. There may be a localized 3/4 inch total in a couple of spots from central Illinois into northern Indiana, but those will be the exceptions again and not the rule. We'll look for most of this precipitation occurs rain. There is a good chance that on the northern fringe of the precipitation shield, we'll likely see a wintry mix, and some freezing rain and snow will mix in as the precipitation event begins. That would probably impact portions of northern Iowa and northern Illinois, mostly Wisconsin and Michigan, though, as this precipitation event develops. Moving on into the first part of next week, a second storm system with a lot of cold air coming in behind it will evolve across the Midwest. Temperatures will contrast sharply with very warm temperatures in the southeast part of the region and cool conditions in the northwest. This will set up as we move from Tuesday into Wednesday, and that's likely to generate an increase in precipitation. Widespread rain, maybe even a couple of thunderstorms in the eastern Midwest, will be countered by snow that will fall in the western parts of the Midwest, including parts of the western Corn Belt. The moisture totals in this midweek storm system next week will be great enough to offer a little bit of relief to the drought, but it is not going to be anything more than a typical winter system, and it's not going to boost those soil moisture levels in a significant, sustainable manner. But snowfall could run several inches across parts of the region from Nebraska into Wisconsin, and every bit of that will be welcome when it's melted and added to the topsoil. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Our 24th annual All-Day Ag Outlook meeting is set for March 5th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. We've got some of the best in the business presenting on the hottest topics, including farmland values for 2013, diversifying your operations with livestock, and, of course, our very popular soybean, corn, and cash grain panels. Our theme this year is Strategies for Market Profitability in 2013. Guarantee your seat by calling 217-333-7300. The cost is $25 and includes a continental breakfast and lunch. When you register with your major credit card, we'll mail your tickets good for our VIP line the day of the event. The number to call is 217-333-7300.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
China's manufacturing crept higher this month to the fastest pace in 2 years. A preliminary version of HSBC's monthly purchasing managers index rose for the fifth month in a row to 51.9 in January from 51.5 in December. Readings above 50 on the 100-point scale indicate an expansion. Japan's central bank governor reaffirmed today plans for aggressive monetary easing as data showed the consumer price index fell in 2012 for the fourth straight year. The consumer price index, which excludes fresh foods, fell 0.1% in Japan in 2012. Adding to the pressure on the central bank to make progress in re-energizing the economy. This morning, USDA released its latest export sales report for the week ending January 17th. The numbers look like this in millions of bushels. Wheat this year, 21.0. Next year, 2.8. Corn this year, 5.5. Next year, 2.0. Soybeans this year, 14.1. Next year, 21.9. Let's go out and look and see how futures are trading on the electronic front. In Kansas City, March wheat trading 824 and a half up three, July 843 and a quarter, now even at 2.5. March wheat in Chicago, 770 and a quarter up 1.75. July 783 and a quarter up one. March corn, 720 and three quarters down 3.5. July 713 and a quarter down two. December 585 and a quarter down a quarter. March soybeans, 1432 and a quarter down three. July 1411 and a quarter down 6.25. November at 1299 and a quarter down 6.5. March soybean meal, 413.60 down 110. March soybean oil, 51.94 down 17. February live cattle, 126.87 and a half up a dollar. January feeder cattle, 145.32 and a half up 72 and a half. And February lean hogs at 86.95, they are down 10. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Chris Corum of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I am doing well. We have reached Friday, and it has been an interesting week. At the beginning of the week, it looked like the bulls were going to take over, and then as the week progressed, it looks like the bears are beginning to hold sway, and by the time the week is over, it looks like we're kind of back where we started in the week.
Yeah, it looks like we're just going to kind of slide into the weekend. I would expect probably the markets to do pretty much what they're doing right now. You know, corn and beans both down about 3 and 6 on the new crop on beans and unchanged corn. You're right, David, just not a lot going on. I mean, you just read off the exports there. The weekly export sales were really bad. You know, corn came in at 138.5, and they were expecting 150 to 350, and the beans at 383, and they're expecting 700 to 1.2. So not good numbers there, and that's probably as much of it. A little booster to the market would be the South American weather. You know, Argentina's still got some concerns, and they're just concerned about production in Brazil. Most everything I've read the last couple of days, you know, they're just not sure. The Brazilian Argentines think that their production's really good, but seems like everybody else is not so sold on that fact. You know, I think it's one of those things that the exports is probably the thing that's going to drive it today through the rest of the day, and you can see it's just not a big reaction to it. So the odd part about that whole thing is, Dave, too, is that if you look at the charts, you know, the short-term indicators are all positive, are all bullish on corn and soybeans. So, you know, it's hard to tell, but it looks like today we're just going to kind of languish around and not do a whole lot.
So that does that mean then when we come back on Sunday evening, we look at South American weather number one, mm-hmm. and number two, and number three?
Yeah, and I think that's really right at this moment in time. You know, we can look at all the drought maps and stuff for us, and we know we're going into a spring a little short of moisture, at least in a few areas. That thing's turned around a little bit for our area. You know, it seems like we're kind of, you know, not as bad off as what we thought, but most of the guys that have tiled all winter tell me there's no moisture. Mm-hmm. So that's a concern for us, but I don't think that'll hit until maybe another month or so. We get closer to that spring price point for crop insurance, and you know, that'll start, those concerns will start.
Thank you, Chris.
You bet.
That's Chris Corum of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace, March corn, 721 and three quarters, down 2.5. The July is 714, and it is down 1.25. December's 585.5, unchanged. March beans, 1432.25, down 3. July 1412, down 5.5. And November, are $13, down 5.75. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.